This is Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrig.
Well-known author and theologian, Jesuit, Father Michael Paul Gallagher.
Insists that while certainly the story of the Three Kings is a marvellous tale which fuels the imagination of the young, in reality, the story is a very adult one.
What strikes me is that it's a series of images. It starts with people noticing a light, a star. The one version of the story is that they are astrologers from, or astronomers might be better, from Persia. Therefore, they were expert in seeing stars. But they see this particular star and they pay attention to it in a way that sets them out on a long and indeed in some ways dangerous journey.
A dangerous journey which hints at a spiritual significance, right?
It would be that follow the light that you see, be faithful to it, pay attention to the light that you find. It's the quality of our attention, the quality of our seeing is at the beginning of any adventure of faith, and that's only the beginning. After that, there's the long journey. We don't know where they came from, but Persia is the most likely, if we're to take it historically. And there was a great film about, 25 or more years ago by Ermanno Olmi, the very distinguished Catholic film director here in Italy, called Cammina, Cammina, based completely on the story of the Magi.
Which means walk along.
Walk along, keep going, as it were, Cammina, Cammina, Cammina. It was all about their journey. Of course, it was a chaotic movie, deliberately chaotic, because it wasn't just three people as we usually represent them. It was tribes of people who didn't even speak the same language. They had to have interpreters. And so there's this long journey with the light guiding them. And then, this seems to me very important, although the text in St. Matthew's Gospel doesn't actually say it explicitly, in some way the light seems to have disappeared. Ruth Burroughs, a very distinguished spiritual writer in England, she says that faith is a light on, light off experience. Well, here the light seems to go off, and I'm very struck by the fact that when the light seems not to be guiding them, they look for guidance in exactly the wrong direction, the most dangerous person possible, Herod.
The evil King Herod.
The evil King Herod, but he's not the only evil king. Right through the Bible, kings fought with prophets. The kings wanted to control religion and make it useful for their political purposes, stability and so on, or power. And the prophets were always saying, but God is different. Here are travellers, by the way, from, of course, a non-Jewish religion, from outside the Jewish revelation, following a star, seeming to lose the light, and asking the most dangerous person possible, who, of course, is a complete hypocrite. He says he wants to come and adore the child when, in fact, he wants to kill. It's quite a symbol of the shadows over Christmas that are always, I think, felt by us. Mm-hmm. Around Christmas, so many things seem to happen. Perhaps it's just that our eyes are more sensitive, our hearts are more sensitive, and we realise some of the suffering of the world.
So Herod is in the picture.
Herod is the great deceiver, yes.
How do you like to call them? The three kings, the magi, the wise men?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've looked a little bit at the history of this. It's fascinating, even in terms of iconography, how they are depicted in painting. By the way, the magi are, as far as I know, the very first representation of Christmas to be found in the catacombs. Not the shepherds, but the magi. At first, they were shown with what are called Phrygian hats, the kind of peaked caps of astrologers or professors from the East. Then they became kings, and later on in Germany they became bishops. So there was a big controversy among the artists as to what kind of headgear they should wear. And there's a lovely legend that a number of years later they all came together on Christmas Day and died together in old age. So it's a fascinating story if you look into some of the developments of it. We've only touched on the first half, you might say, of the story. The second half is the light comes back. This it does say in the Gospel. They were overjoyed at seeing the star again. It's a little bit like all our experience of a mixture of darkness and light and ups and downs, consolation, desolation. And now they're on the road, they're finding their securities again, and they come to the house. Interesting. Matthew is sometimes thought of as the evangelist who is most sensitive about the church. And they enter the house, which may well symbolize the church, and inside there they find Mary and the child. And of course they've brought their gifts, and they're depicted in painting as three different ages or even three different races. But they bring all their different gifts only to find, as various poets have said, that they are the receivers. We've talked a lot about Newman this year. I think the moment of the Magi's adoration of Jesus, for Newman, would be the threshold between what he calls natural religion and revealed religion. In other words, where everything that is best in us, our desires, our fidelity, conscience, and so on, brings us to a threshold where we find another light altogether, the surprise of revelation in Christ. And so, although they thought they were bringing gifts, they in fact receive. They become receivers rather than givers in this moment of adoration. It's a very profound moment of Christmas. And the story doesn't stop there. There's no evidence in Matthew's Gospel that they weren't going to go back to Herod if they didn't have the dream. They would go back and tell Herod, "We found the child," but the dream warned them not to. And this is, for me, another of those powerful images that we can pause on, meditate on, pray, and so on, because it's our need of something deeper than our human wisdom. It's our need of the guidance of the Spirit. It's our need of being led into a deeper area of wisdom other than just common sense. And ultimately, it's a question of discerning with the Spirit how to live. And without that guidance, they would have gone back to Herod. And even then, the story is not over. There's another image left for us that usually we pass over, perhaps without realizing its richness. They went home by another way. Now, this isn't just that they walked down Via della Conciliazione to the river. It's a code word in the Gospel, hodos, way. It summarizes the whole new way of living that is Christianity, the difference of being a believer. A whole other vision. So even that little phrase that we perhaps say so casually, or it's translated by another root or something like that, but it's a very important phrase in gospel codes.
So it's an interior journey.
It's an interior journey. It's also a transformation. They have been utterly changed in different ways by what they have found. T.S. Eliot had a poem, a rather austere poem. Different poets have written about the Magi, but T.S. Eliot in English is probably the most important or the most famous. He has quite a long poem called The Journey of the Magi. And for him, it's a moment of painful transformation. At the end of the poem, they're looking back on what they've experienced, and the poem says, "There was a birth, certainly, We had evidence and no doubt. I have seen birth and death, and had thought that they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation. And so they are disturbed by what they have found. I don't fully agree with Eliot's take on it, but I certainly agree with him that what they encounter in this journey and in this discovery of Christ is transforming. He sees it as rather disturbingly transforming. I think of it more as a confirmation, a discovery of who we are and who God is with us.
That was Jesuit theologian and well-known author, Father Michael Paul Gallagher.
I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.